Spurgeon said, when Satan tempts us, his spark falls upon tinder. But in Christ's case, it was like striking sparks of water, yet the enemy continued his evil work. Now, if the devil goes on striking when there is no result, how much more will he do it when he knows what inflammable stuff our hearts are made of? Today, I'm sharing insights from the scriptures to help us prove faithful in temptation. Welcome to the She Proves Faithful podcast, episode number 259, Truth and Encouragement to Live Gospel-Centered Lives Every Day. I'm your host, Lauren Luchak. Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of the She Proves Faithful podcast. I am so glad you're here, and I am excited to talk to you all about resisting the counterfeit, the temptation to choose another way besides God's way. And I'm going to share why being silent in your bed is helpful for many reasons, but really, I'm going to focus on a biblical one. Thank you so much to all my Patreon supporters for being a part of helping me get the gospel message out all over the world. I'm so grateful for you. It's a great joy to have you be a part of this team. So thank you very much. If you've been blessed by the She Proves Faithful podcast and you would like to support the show, you can check out the show notes on the episode description for a link to Patreon. Well, today I have a life hack for you. Is anyone still raking leaves right now? I don't know about you. We just had some oak trees in our backyard that decided this weekend was fall, even though it's February, and they just dumped a ton of leaves everywhere. And the oaks that we have, the leaves are slender and slippery. They're not, I don't know how else to describe it. They're water oaks. They're not live oaks. They're not bur oaks. The leaves that they drop, they lay on the ground and they pile up and they literally are like a little ice rink of leaves in the backyard. My toddler has definitely slipped on them and I may or may not have also slipped on them. Well, today's life hack is about raking leaves. So whether you need to rake now or rake later, here's my life hack for you. Now, there are many methods to leaf raking, and you might be like, why? Why is she talking about this? I like finding the best methods, and we have used several of them. In our old house, our neighbor had a bur oak, which dropped these oak leaves. I mean, they were bigger than my hand, and they would curl up, and they were super crunchy. Not the ones in my backyard now. And you could rake up a pile and it'd be taller than your car. You could jump in it. There's so many leaves. And we would suck them up with a leaf blower and crunch them. It would mulch them for us. And that was great. However, this is also a simple method. Just rake them onto a tarp. Or in my case today, I had a big piece of cardboard. And instead of raking these piles and then bending over and putting the leaves in the wheelbarrow and then disposing of them, no. Rake them right on there. Just scrape them up and then drag them to your compost pile, to a garden bed, to under a bush, around a tree. Don't get rid of those leaves. They will compost on their own over time. And if you have a compost, they are just such a great piece of carbon to put in there. That's my hack. Just skip the step of bending and lifting up all these leaves only to dump them somewhere else. Just scrape them onto your tarp or cardboard and drag them to their place. So as I was typing this, I was like, are people going to be like, how many ways are there really to rake leaves? So hopefully you were inspired and excited to not have to like skip a step of the leaf raking process. Well, go try it out. Get excited for your compost pile. Today, I'm going to be talking about temptation and how temptation is really a counterfeit promise or counterfeit offer of something that is not the good stuff. It is not from the Lord. It is not the way of the Lord. And it will only leave you wanting. It will only leave you ultimately in despair. In fact, one of the proverbs I'm going to share later is that there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And temptation is truly like that, where we think something will be life-giving, we think that it will be simpler, but temptation is given as a way to disobey the Lord. Like, if there's temptation, it means that if we take it, if we if we accept the offer, that it's counterfeit. It's not going to get us where we need to be. Let's start here in the scriptures. Do you know the passage about Jesus being tempted in the desert by Satan? It's very familiar to us. Satan basically offered him an alternative way to usher in the kingdom of God, to take the easy road. I'll give you all these kingdoms of earth, like what you see, if you worship me. And all Jesus had to do is exchange his worship, his allegiance, and to the Lord, and the world would be his. Or so the offer was presented. And there wouldn't be suffering, no cross to bear, just rebellion against the Father's will. That's all. Worship Satan, you know. And we know that Jesus resists the temptation. He rebukes the enemy. Well, this was a counterfeit offer. It would not have ushered in the kingdom of God, but the temptation was still there, just as it is for us to accept a counterfeit offer that seems comparable. Something in our weary hearts or emotional hearts, maybe with anger or complete elation, love. I mean, these at the height of these emotions, sometimes we want to avoid discomfort or more discomfort or waiting or patience or long suffering, character building. Like, if those are options A, B, C, D, E, is there another? Like, is there another option that we can still achieve the same results? And there's not. There's not an alternative way to the Lord that is going to get us that obedience, that's going to get us that blessing from God. We can't exchange the truth of God for a lie and be blessed. Proverbs actually speaks to this two times, the same almost identical verse. It says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." I think that's a great summary of temptation, you know, that of taking temptation, of sinning after you've been tempted. Temptation in itself is not a sin, but sinning because we've taken the bait, we've accepted the counterfeit, that is a way that seems right to us. We engage in it, but in the end, it leads to death. Jesus resisted. Jesus obeyed the Father, but the tempter came back. And I had not thought of this until this past Sunday. And our pastor was talking, and I was like, here he is again, this great tempter trying the same tricks. Matthew 16, it says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.'" Here, Jesus shares that the way to the kingdom of God coming will be ushered in is through his suffering and through his murder. He will be killed, but he will rise again. And this plan that Jesus is sharing seems quite opposite of how one would come to rule over all nations. And it's clear that the disciples do not understand God's plan, because just before this passage, Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, Jesus is the Messiah, and Jesus told his disciples not to tell anyone. Why? Because they didn't quite understand the true role of the Messiah yet. They were still holding on to an earthly kingdom. They were still thinking this was a political move to rule on earth the way earthly kings did, the way Satan had offered the counterfeit offer. And the Lord would open their eyes, but not here, not yet. And here, Satan, through Peter, is tempting Jesus once again with this counterfeit offer. No, no, you don't have to suffer. This will not happen to you. And it honestly makes me think of all those who claim the name of Jesus statements, you know, like, this is not so, this won't happen, when suffering appears in the picture. Like, I declare, this is not God's will for you. And sometimes it is. Sometimes suffering is the way, and it was the way for the Messiah, and it was the way to bring salvation to sinful man and usher in the kingdom of God, where Jesus is currently reigning as king, king of the world. Whether he's acknowledged or not, he is our reigning king. He is everyone's reigning king. So Jesus is presented these counterfeit offers, these temptations, and he resists. But we also will be tempted. We also have been tempted. And in the height of our emotions, in the weakness of our flesh, in whatever we're going through, we might err. We might accept the temptation. We might choose the counterfeit. Charles Spurgeon, he wrote this. He said, "When Satan tempts us, his spark falls upon tinder. But in Christ's case, it was like striking sparks of water. Yet the enemy continued his evil work." Now, if the devil goes on striking when there is no result, how much more will he do it when he knows what inflammable stuff our hearts are made of? I love this reminder that Christ, though tempted, would resist. His heart was like water up against flames. It would not burn. And I'm so thankful for that. Doesn't it just remind you of the power of Christ? His work was complete. His work was satisfactory to the Father on the cross. I mean, we don't need to doubt him and his strength and his ability and his obedience. But then there's us. Here's a reminder to not put your trust in men. My husband often reminds me of the verse that says, "Don't trust in chariots, don't trust in horses. We put our trust in the name of the Lord our God." It's like this is why we have inflammable hearts. That's what they're made of. However, we also have a good and gracious God. So what do we do when there is this counterfeit presented to us? First, remember our perfect Savior, Jesus. In his physical weakness in the desert, he resisted. In the midst of being tempted to receive a counterfeit kingdom, he resisted. He fully trusted the Father, and we reap the reward of his trust. We reap the fruit of his perfect obedience to the Father. Because of Jesus's resistance to sin, we are given newness of life. We are redeemed, we are washed, we are cleansed, and we are presented perfect to the Heavenly Father. We are accepted because Christ did not waver. He is our strength. When we look to Christ and see that he resisted the temptation to sin, he resisted the counterfeit kingdom, he resisted the devil, we know our Savior is strong enough. He loved the Father perfectly, and he obeyed him perfectly. Our hearts should be encouraged and strengthened by that. The second thing is to be on our guard. Remember, temptation doesn't just come to the spiritually weak or the spiritually infirm. It doesn't come to the people who are just not paying attention. We all have these inflammable hearts, this tender. Spurgeon wrote, "The utmost consecration of spirit will not ensure you against satanic temptation. Christ was consecrated through and through. It was his meat and his drink to do the will of him that sent him. And yet he was tempted. Your hearts may glow with a seraphic flame of love to Jesus, and yet the devil will try to bring you down to Laodicean lukewarmness." We may think that we are above a certain temptation, that we would never do that, or that temptations won't be a bother to us, maybe once we get to achieve a spiritual level. God has told us what we must do. We must put on our spiritual armor, and we must not be sleepy, but remain alert. Temptations come to those who are first in Christ at their spiritual newbornness, all the way to those who are most mature in Christ, who have walked with God and are about to go to glory. Temptation will come, but God has not left us alone. We first have Christ, so our righteousness is achieved by him, not our ability to withstand the devil. Jesus withstood the devil, and we are his. We are hemmed in behind and before. Then God gives us spiritual armor. Ephesians 6:11, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." Spurgeon said, "Like the old knights in wartime, we must sleep with helmet and breastplate buckled on, for the arch deceiver will seize our first unguarded hour to make us his prey." Ephesians 6 goes on to say, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. If you want to be ready to resist the counterfeit, to resist temptation, then put on the armor of God. Study this passage. Understand what Christ's righteousness, how that guards you against temptation. The belt of truth, why the truth guards you against temptation. The gospel of peace, why that makes you ready. Faith, believing and not doubting the Lord. All these things are defensive mechanisms for us to withstand the evil one. And praying at all times in the Spirit, with prayer and supplication. This is not just us pulling up our bootstraps, our gospel of peace shoes. This is the Lord doing this work in us and giving us the tools to do it as well. And then finally, put your trust in the Lord. Trusting the Lord in the midst of tempting moments looks like going to Him to find wisdom, to find counsel, to find truth and hope, and to believe it, to believe what He says in His word. I'm reading through 1st and 2nd Kings with my kids right now, and over again, we see the kings of Israel, how they would not turn to the Lord in their trouble. Like enemies would come up and rise against them, and they would search for support from other nations instead of going to the Lord first. Why didn't they inquire of the Lord? They didn't trust Him. They didn't believe in Him. They doubted Him. They had stubborn hearts. And even this one king I talked about a couple episodes ago, that he was sick. And instead of going to the Lord and saying, "Will I recover from this injury?" he says, go to Baal and see if, you know, he'll let me know what the future will hold. I think it's tempting in our troubles to run after counterfeit solutions, especially when our emotions are high. This will help. This will solve it. I'll do this. I'll run to here. I'll put my hope in this. And that temptation can cause us to err if we follow it. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous man runs to it and is safe." Psalm 4 says, "Answer me when I call. O God of my righteousness, you have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." This is the one. This is the one who is over Satan, who has all authority in heaven and on earth. Let us go to the living God of all things, who has given us Christ's righteousness. The other night, my husband had a difficult phone call with someone, and after he got off the phone, he told me about it, and my heart was so angry. I just was so frustrated. And in that moment, what I wanted to do was run after other things for comfort. I wanted to try to fix it, you know, come up with ideas. I wanted to voice text my best friend and tell her all about it, give her my 2 cents and, you know, and ask for prayer and counsel and all that. But really, I was just like, that emotion, it fills you up and you feel like you just got to blow off some steam. And I decided that probably wasn't, I was tempted to run after other things. That's really what it was. And I decided, let me go put my baby to bed. I'll read my Bible on my phone while I nurse him. But I opened that Bible up and it was in 1 Corinthians and I don't know what I was reading. I could not focus. The words seemed to scramble and my mind was so hot with all this frustration. So again, I'm tempted to just, let me just message my friend here. Just, I tried reading the Bible. Check. But I thought about those kings. Like in that moment, I thought about those kings who ran to other gods and other kings for help first instead of going to the Lord. And I was like, let me pray. Let me pray about this. Let me sit here and just be quiet for a moment. And so I started praying, but I'll be honest, it was hard to focus. So I was silent and I just tried to think of scripture. What is the truth? Any scripture is truth. And immediately I recalled Psalm 4, which is a psalm my kids and I have been just reading in the morning. And it says in Psalm 4, "Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. In the temptation to sin in my anger, God reminded me, don't sin. Just be quiet here. Be silent and ponder things in your heart. I wasn't in my bed, but I will tell you, having a moment of silence, thinking things over, letting the Holy Spirit counsel and convict your heart, a lot of wonderful things can happen. I'm not saying silence is always the answer, because Spurgeon even talks about, you know, going to an isolated place does not negate temptation. Jesus was in a desolate place, right? He was in the desert and he was tempted. So going into your own mind is not free from the temptations of the evil one. But God does tell us to be silent and ponder in our heart. And it was there that the Lord did, you know, he released the steam for me. There was so much wisdom in that psalm to just be quiet, just think, trust the Lord. This has helped me in my marriage too. When my husband and I have had disagreements, or there has been anger, frustration, whatever it is, going off and just having a moment to think, the Lord has done great things in my heart to reveal areas where I was sinful, where I wasn't trusting, where I was, you know, XYZ, or given me patience or grace to approach the situation again. Going back to the Word is paramount for us in the midst of temptation. The Psalms speak to this. Psalm 119 is just full of the benefits of the Word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Your word is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path. The word is sweet like honey. It is not acrid. The word is living and active. It's not dead and useless. When Jesus was tempted in the desert by Satan, he used scripture to rebuke Satan and this counterfeit offer. And when Satan tempted Jesus through Peter, Jesus rebuked them both, exposing the mindset of man. There's a difference. And he gave us all the reality, the realization that there is a way to think about things rightly, either man's way or God's way. And we need the truth. We need a mindset on the things of God. Jesus does that for us by making us new creations. And then he continues to do it through us, through the power of the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit, which the Word is the sword of the Spirit. So when you are tempted, run to the Lord. He is your strong tower. He hears you in your distress. And if in temptation you give in to sin, repent. Turn to the Lord through Jesus. Jesus is ready to restore you and forgive you and offer overflowing grace to you. Praise God, and thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the She Proves Faithful podcast. My website is currently being worked on, so show notes right now are in the episode description. There you will find links on how to support the podcast. If you love wellness products for your home, skincare, cleaning products, laundry, tinctures for health and wellness. Earthly is such a great company, and I'm an affiliate with them. So if you purchase products through them, it supports the podcast. Also, if you are a Patreon supporter, you know that something exciting is in the works. I've been praying about it and working on it. My husband's helping me too, to make something for mothers and daughters pursuing biblical femininity and homemaking skills. So I'm just leaving a little teaser right here at the end if you're listening to this, and I'll have more information in the coming episodes. So thank you so much for joining me, and may you prove faithful in all the Lord has given you to do.